fucking master!
What I'm about to tell you cannot be repeated to anyone. You have a greater purpose than any of us could have ever imagined.
If you don't think there's hope for the world, why bother going on?
You haven't seen the world, so you don't know. You keep going for family.
I'm not family.
No, you're cargo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Brickmasters Podcast, an unofficial Last of Us HBO recap show. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth, and join with me now is one of my good friends, podcaster, comedian, black actor, Mike Brown. How the hell are you, sir?
I'm feeling good. I feel great to be back on podcast right now. You know, I took a little break, but I'm back, and I am very excited to be on this inaugural episode of this podcast for so many reasons, and I can't wait to get into them. Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. When I think about it, I probably couldn't have done it with anybody but you, because at least this first one, because I think the first one of our
long term
deep conversations, not for the long term. You're gonna at least get one in, but I think that starting it off, it's good to start it off with you, because I think the first really long conversation about the game was with you when you did the podcast, when you were on the Mundane Festival about 10 years ago, when we broke it down. Because there were some gamers in the comedy community, but right around that time when the game was out, I don't think that many people were really talking about it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I remember doing that episode, and I think that's the one that we I recorded in Washington Heights.
Yes.
When I was up there. And I think it might have been out, or we just kind of got into this really deep discussion about video games itself. And
yes.
I think for me, it's like, you know, doing comedy, like I'll write jokes, I'll think of funny things, and like in conversations and all that. And one of my escapes would be video games. It's either like TV, video games. I'm also like putting live stage plays and stuff into it, just kind of like give my brain a break. And what I loved most about that game was the narrative experience.
Right.
And I think it was just so different from all the other things at that time, because even if you look at games now, it feels like everything is so multiplayer, so easily rehashable, like, you know, your Fortnite,
Call of Duty,
all that. And this was a game where it's like, oh no, I love this game, not just because of the action and the gameplay and all that, but the story is so good. And I remember doing that. That was like our first, that was like the first like real kind of just like outside, like, oh shit.
Yeah,
somebody else knows about this.
Yeah, because so, I remember, yeah. I think we did it. We actually did it and had to do it in 2014, because I finished part one. I was a little late to the party. I remember like, OK, Lara Croft is my favorite video game character. The Tomb Raider reboots got me back into gaming, because I was really just a sports game, Madden in your 2Ks or whatever, your NBA lives and blah, blah, blah. And then I remember everybody was saying, I'm not going to say it on the, I ain't going to do that. I remember people saying like, oh, The Last of Us is dope. And I remember when it came out in June of 2013, people were like, oh my God, the first 15 minutes is crazy. And I kind of didn't pay any attention to it. And I picked it up around October of 2013. And I was like, holy shit, they're right. Then I got stuck in the subway. I think maybe the second time where it's like those clickers and you got to kill all those clickers in there and get that ladder and get out of the subway. And I just got stuck on that, and I didn't pick it back up until maybe early 2014 when I found out the Left Behind DLC was coming out. And then I was like, oh my God, what was I waiting on? It was an amazing experience.
I think at that time, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you remember it, I think, and shout out to Nori. Nori had put out a tweet about how I think he said Tomb Raider was better than Last of Us or something along those lines. And it really struck a nerve with me. And he and I kind of went like, you know, we playfully went back and forth on it. But like he was standing on his Tomb Raider. And I'm like, yo, Last of Us is better. Unless that was Horizon.
You know,
anyway. What,
you know, I remember an exchange like that. Shout out to comedian Nori Davis. I remember one time, but this was like a few years later, where like I had Uncharted. I was about to get Uncharted, all the Uncharted, because you guys were telling me to play that next, because I was looking for something else to play. And I think there was like a back and forth between you and Nori. And I think like Brandon Collins might have been in. I don't know. It was a playful thing. It wasn't anything like beef or anything. I remember that time.
No, for the audience, it was beef. Somebody was going to die over these video games.
We got to get the numbers.
Black comedians. Yeah. You know? We was about to lay bricks. You know what it is. We about to master the bricks. You know what it is.
Nerds getting mad about video games. Yeah, but I mean, and so here we are after, you know, part two comes out. There's a lot of controversy with that. There was a stall movie idea that was supposed to happen with Sam Raimi, and that never happened. There was supposed to be a cartoon, an animated series of some kind that got scrapped. And now we're here. We're here. We went to the premiere of the HBO series, the first episode, down in the lower. Do you call that the Lower East Side, or what do you call that? What do you call that area where the Angelica is?
I don't like. A part of me wants to call it Soho, because it's right there by Broadway Lafayette. So I'm gonna throw Soho right there.
We were in Soho. Yeah, that makes it sound more elegant. We were in Soho.
Yeah, step it up a little bit. Step it up. Yeah, HBO paid. Yeah.
Shout out to One Iota for the hookup. I found the I was just happened to be looking at Twitter on break from work, and I follow Naughty Dog Central. Everything Naughty Dog comes up, they tweet it. And there was this screening, and I was like, oh, let me give it a shot and see what happens. And I was able to score two tickets. And we were doing a gig together in Jersey City. And I was like, let's make this happen. Let's do this. You know, let's go. And we made it happen. Yeah, man, that was fun. And I thought I was blown away. I was blown away by the whole experience, because I thought it was just going to be like, okay, we're at the Angelica. There's probably going to be playing the Fablemans, some other like art house stuff that I generally like. And you
that's
know,
your whole bag, yo. Your movie snobby a little bit. That's your whole bag.
I watch everything. I mean, I just saw Megan this afternoon. I thought it was fun. It was so much fun.
Okay.
Or I like to call it Mithrigan, because she's got the three. So but it was fun. So I watch everything, and I was thinking like, oh, okay, this is just going to be, you know, this, it's just going to be a thing. We walk in, we see the movie, have a great time. But no, tell them how that theater looked.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So the thing about the Angelica is like, I've seen movies there, and every movie that I saw there was like a fucking weird ass, very niche white people movie.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Blue Jasmine there. Even though this wasn't a niche, I saw Doubt there. You know, I just saw movies that weren't like, that were like films. Yes. You know what I mean? Like I don't think they have like a Marvel movie there. They don't do like the big budgets. Like there's no Black Adam. All the movies that you see there, like you have to like either search for the trailer or like A24 tweeted it and you know the movie's going to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just what that is. Right. It's very posh. So, originally, when I went up there, I thought it was going to be something like kind of like Golden Globes-ish. Like we were going to get there. We were going to be online. There might be like some of the actors there. There might be like a Q&A. There might be a lot of pictures and all this stuff. And it was just going to be like just, you know, those events that are just like kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
But they let the general audience be there. And I was like, hey, I'm looking forward to this, you know, coming off of being on Samantha Bee and not feeling any of that celebrity, I thought maybe it's cool to watch it. Maybe it's cool to watch it from this side. And
hey, that's still a hell of a credit, Mike Brown. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. That's the kind of quality, that's the type of pedigree that you're going to get on this podcast.
Yeah, the highest quality. Canceled, but nominated for WGA. So,
hey man, shows get canceled, dude. I did a pilot for what the show, I forgot the name of the damn show.
It was a show on canceled NBC. It in your mind.
It got canceled. I just had one line, and the lead actress was like, yeah, maybe you'll be recurring. Maybe, you know, we'll get picked up and you'll be a recurring character. They did one season, and that was it.
I wrapped them up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Also, I want to shout out to Warner Brothers in general. No shade. Just thanks, guys.
Well, they produce. This is the studio that puts out part of the show.
It's part of it. Shout out to Turner. Shout out to everybody involved and everything. Just, you know, making money, player.
Mike, you will get another show.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just funny. It's just like how the business goes. But anyway, we get there. And one of the things that is really funny and bugged out to me, because I didn't notice when we got there, I look at the outside of Angelica, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all of these, like, branches and just like twigs just wrapped around the columns. And I see all these like very kind of like grayscale or like sepia tone signs with like kind of blood splattered on it, like you know, a closed restricted area, whatever. So my first thought, and I'm like, yo, so they must have got this spot on a deal. I don't know why we're here. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe the Angelica closed. I haven't been here in a while.
Oh, wow. Maybe you thought that happened. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was like, man, so many. We lost so many great places in New York City because of COVID. Even the Angelica.
I didn't even think of it that way. Wow.
That's just how I saw it. I'm like, man. I was like, well, at least we get this last hurrah before they close it for good.
Yeah,
you know, like the signs. I'm like, man, they got asbestos or some shit in here. But you know what? I'm such a fan.
Yeah,
I'm willing to risk it. Wish I brought my mask.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but man, it wasn't. Go ahead. No, I'm just saying it wasn't until we were standing there, and then when I got that wristband, mm-hmm. and someone had came up to me and had like the flashlights, and were like walking by and flashlighting people with, you know, the small handheld flashlights, and they're like, oh, with your ticket and everything. And I'm like, cool. And then they give it to me, like, okay. They're like, how are you feeling? And they're asking very like COVID related questions.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
All the COVID related questions are like plague infestation of Last of Us related questions. They're like, hey, are you feeling sick? Are you feeling hot? Do you feel like shortness of breath? And I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, no, I got my boosters. You know, like I'm totally.
I'm vaxxed, baby.
Yeah, baby. Come on, man. So many times.
Do they call the card in New York? What do they call the card? The rush, like the app or some shit. I forget the name.
Oh yeah, the New York app. Yeah,
I forget what the hell they call it. In Jersey, it's called Docket.
Oh yeah, for us it's called like the New York wallet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
their actors are like trying to see if you're sick.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on. Even when we went into, we'll get to that. That was my first impression, just being outside. And, you know, luckily we were there early, so you got to see some of it. But I also just want to say this. Outside, the people weren't really selling that they were part of the Fireflies. Because I started putting that together, but they weren't, mm-hmm. they really weren't in character all the way.
The like, first two girls were like, yeah, we're, I was like, is this you with this? She's like, yeah, the black dude in the vest.
Yeah,
he didn't say anything to me. I guess he thought that I wouldn't play along. But I was just like, because I know the game so well, I'm like, I don't fuck with the Fireflies anyway. I was like, y'all ain't shit. You know, but I was impressed by, I thought it was very like unceremonious as far as like my anxiety with not just really crowds, but just like, I thought this was going to be a shit show. because of the, like, I thought like these free events, these fan events were going to be a shit show. They had done the premiere in LA and I had seen people's videos and the people that have, you know, gone to, you know, premiere. They, all the actors were there, the celebrities and all that stuff. That was cool. And they had like Last of Us themed drinks and all that. But I just thought, I was like, okay, because I'm used to like going to the Garden State Plaza where you're going to see some movie and it's like a shit ton of people there. They're fighting over seats. They're trying to make you fill out a survey or you can't go home until you fill out this. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. So I'm never doing that shit again. But I was like, for The Last of Us, I'll brave whatever it is. And when I pulled up, like I pulled up to go to the parking lot, out to my parking garage, I was seeing like, I was like, oh, they had the awning say The Last of Us on there. And I was like, oh, this is for y'all ain't playing. Like HBO's not playing at all. And I got there. It was very cool. It was very chill. It's like, it was like really, shout out to One Iota, man. It was really chill. It was very laid back.
Yeah, it was not what I was expecting. And it's also like, I don't know how many I haven't been to like a live promo event since COVID.
Neither have I.
Yeah, so I just had no idea like what to expect at all.
Yeah.
And I just want to just like echo that. Like, shout out to One Iota, man. They did a great job.
Yeah. And then we get inside. it's like the Angelica, because I had not been there since before COVID. And it's just not a place that I go to a lot, because I'm an AMC Stubbs member, but who cares about that? But I was just like, I was just
humble ass brag that you're trying to throw in there.
No, the thing about that is, and people that listen to my regular podcast know, like, you know, you I have to go into the city to see the art house stuff because New York and LA get it before Jersey or wherever. So it's like, anyway, I get there. It's like everything is, we get inside and it's just like bombed out. It's like there's like fire cans, you know, what is it, like barrels and shit all over the place?
Yeah. Barrels.
I took pictures of it and posted some on my Instagram stories. They're checking us. They're scanning the back of our necks.
Well, hold on. Before we even get to there, you first get inside and there's a metal detector.
Yeah.
Right? Again, Angelica's in Soho. This is a white people theater. I've never been in there. And I had to like empty my pockets and get checked like that. Because I'm walking through and I'm like, yo, the fuck is this? The first thing I thought when I came in there was like, yo, how bad is this theater now? Because I still thought.
you weren't playing along.
It wasn't until because you know, you see these guys all dressed up, and I'm like, yeah. I'm not even thinking about like crazy America stuff. Like, hey, would somebody shoot this up? I'm not even thinking that. Yeah. I'm just like, yo, as a kid growing up, I used to go to movie theaters where we had the metal detectors, but I was like, never in my adult life. Like, I'm not going to the club. I'm not going to a concert. I'm going to see a free premiere of a show
video game.
Yeah. And I can watch this at home for free.
Yeah.
In a few days.
Right.
So why are you doing it? Wasn't until and this is the thing that like broke me when you go past the metal detectors and what you were talking about with the scan, and they're like, hey, we need to scan the back of your neck. I'm still in COVID mode. So I'm like, oh, the technology has just surpassed. I haven't been outside in so long. Right. They can just scan your neck and tell you. And I still was like, I was like, I think I asked him, I was like, hey, did you need to see my COVID thing? He said, have you been bit? I was like, what? He's like, have you been bit? I was like, oh, no, I'm good, baby.
You still didn't know. Like, because
ain't nobody bite me.
That's so funny, man. Because I was just like, I'll play along, guys. I get it. Because if you don't know the show, like the Fireflies, they're a faction. They're basically January Sixers, but in a lot of ways, they are what do you call those? They're rebels.
Yeah, they're the rebellion fighting to protect democracy.
Yes.
Only for white people. I'm just joking.
well, I don't know. We'll get into that in later episodes, but. I love Naughty Dog. I love this franchise, but it is not without problems.
Oh man, wait, yeah.
But wait till we get to like episode
middle of season, probably like 4 or 5 is gonna be disgusting. That. It's gonna be disgusting.
Wait till we get to Sam and Henry. But like, you know, it was cool because I was just like, okay, because these guys are dressed in flannels, bubble vests, some have military clothes on, and they were very like into it. I tried to record some of it, and then I don't know if I posted it, but it was a picture like this one woman is talking, where did you come from? Where did you come? And she had a map and she was like pointing to all these like circles on a map, and she looked up at me and she was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you taping this? I was like, oh, let me put my camera down. Damn.
Oh, it's so funny because when I got to her, because like when we got in, we kind of got separated for a second.
They did and separate
also,
us.
Yeah, it's separate. So yeah. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, maybe they just want to have, you know, a good like black ratio. They want one of us over here, what's going on. But I got to the girl with the map. And at this point, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play along now.
Okay,
I'm gonna play along, and so I go to the map, and she's showing the map, and she's like, "Hey, you know, this is the five fireplaces, whatever. Hey, if you have any questions, let me know." And I said, "Yeah, actually, I do have a question. Can you tell me about the base right here?" And I just pointed at a base on the map. She was like, "I don't know. We don't have a lot of information coming out of that base."
It's like, you're fired.
Like, it's like, again. Nobody's in this.
Like, I need this job. I have a 5-year-old kid. Just come on.
Listen, I'm just trying to get through NYU. And
I'm at Tisch. Oh, I'm just trying to get some credits.
Yeah, I do think, though, I think that everything that they tried to do, I do wish this. Like, my only critique of that whole thing is I wish that all of those people who were acting were totally in character, like Disney level, locked, you know, in. Disney World level, just locked in. Like, this is who I am. You cannot, like, I wish they had a sense of the lore. Yeah. And this is only coming from a video game fan perspective.
Sure.
Because I would have loved to just like get either great information or just like bullshit, but just like high quality. I came outside for this bullshit. Right. Whereas, I think like, just like when we got downstairs or when we like got to like the picture part, I think the person was cool when he was into it.
Yeah.
And then we started asking people questions like, hey, where do I get this? Just thinking, you know, but I'm jumping around, but we're on track. No zombies came out, man.
Well, I didn't want to see any. I was surprised that they had us take. I was surprised they let us take a picture with an infected. You know,
yeah.
People love that post that I posted of us that on Instagram. They love. Yeah,
people thought it was like a rap album cover.
Yeah,
but it was like, what else are we gonna do, man? We gonna make this.
I was like, fuck it, I'll play. Because normally I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm just like, oh, let me take it all in. And but it was fun. That was a good photo. And the popcorn was good. They had different kind of popcorn. In an apocalypse, they had truffle popcorn. They had buttered popcorn, and I guess just regular.
The necessities that you have to have.
Right.
It's like, everyone's infected. We don't have a cure, but we have truffled popcorn.
Yeah. And they had water.
Oh, man. Yeah. They also had the soda. The fountain machines were working.
Okay, it looked like they weren't, dude.
No, they were working, so even before we go into the theater, like, we were going downstairs, and the guy is like, you know, when you're lost in the darkness, look for the light. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, cool. And I'm still thinking it's going to be somebody coming out, so I'm just like, yo, where can I get my shivs, right?
That's what I said. I was like, can we get some shivs, some Molotovs?
Yeah, something.
I was trying to play along.
But okay, but did for a moment, do you think that they were like, oh man, these black people, they want weapons?
I think those people were just taking a gig. I don't think they did any homework. They didn't. I think they just were like, we got to dress up in military fatigues and tell people where to go. We were on the late show, so I think they were done. I think they were like,
oh yeah, probably the first, yeah, the first, yeah. Second one, they probably were like into it. Like, people were like, oh my God, Last of Us.
They're like, yeah.
Shh. the clickers are around the corner, like yeah. all these things.
Yeah. And we had to put our phones in yonder bags, which we kept.
I mean, yeah.
They kept with us.
But that also, it's like, that's a weird thing too, where it's like, I understand why, but for me, I'm like, yo, I don't think, like, I personally wouldn't have taped anything.
No,
I would have just enjoyed it. Like, it's kind of like, oh, this is an experience. And it just kind of says a lot about, like, where we are as a society right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yo, we can take your pictures, whatever. Go downstairs. We're cutting off your phones. We don't want this to get out. And it's like,
right.
Do people not just, like, cherish the experience that they had? Or do they just want to share this experience so bad with other people that they don't get to have it themselves? Like,
right.
Their experience is sharing it instead of...
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
That was the second time I saw something like that. Like, I did the yonder bag thing.
Yeah.
It was for Chris Rock's show at the Borgata last year, right after the slap, like a week after the slap.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did the Borgata, and I happened to be performing down there. So I got a ticket, and it was a fucking shit show because the line was wrapped inside of the fucking casino. It was so crazy because they were doing the yonder bag thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because every time you go through, it's just like, hey, each person put your phone in.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
I mean, like, yo, I love Last of Us. I love the franchise. Love HBO. Didn't think it was yonder bag worthy, but I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it's a little, all right. But I guess some critics got all 9 episodes.
Really?
Yeah, dude, they got the whole series. I think the visual effects aren't all there for the episodes that they got, but some people got everything. Like, the Gene Park from the Washington Post interviewed Neil Druckmann earlier this week and was saying, like, you know, by the time this goes up, this will be the episode will have already premiered, but he got every episode. And then there were some people with YouTube channels. Not to say my podcast is like bringing in tons of numbers, but it's like, I've never fucking heard of you. How did you get all the episodes? You don't even like that. I've never seen you, like, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. You're not white enough, man.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the white contingency, but there does seem to be a difference between the white podcasters and non-white podcasters and access to things from production companies. And exposure, similar to TikTok with dancers of color versus dancers of non-color.
Sure.
Factual, not hating. That's the new thing.
No, not just, it's factual, that's real. Factual. It's real. It's real. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's that was just something that was just like, wow, you guys got all 9. So that means they're pretty confident with this show. I mean, most people... With a lot of shows that I listen to, that I watch and then listen to recaps of shows, they're always mm-hmm. like, oh, we didn't get the this week's screeners yet. They're gonna wait till like the finale day to get it. So we have to post the recap late because we didn't get the final screener. Or it's like, I'm watching the critic will be like, I'm watching the finale just like you guys are. You'll get my critique, my response later than you normally would.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think there was an article that I think it was like the one you read to the New Yorker article mm-hmm. where I think they were interviewing Neil about just like the production process of getting this thing off the ground and saying like, okay, well, there was a false start with I think the movie and that was in development hell. And from my experience of having like sold a TV show and like trying to get it made, there are so many different parts to it. So it's like, you know, the creator has the intellectual property and they're like, okay, this is the thing I want to do. And the network heads have just a different sense of what should happen. So they're like, all right, well, these moves are cool, but we need to make maybe the act one kind of go in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we want this to happen. And so then you start having the back and forth and a push and pull.
Right.
And it's also a video game property. So it's like, there's not many video game adaptations that have worked. Like, they've tried it with Doom.
Mm-hmm.
They've, I think...
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers. I mean, like the cartoon looks good. It looks like it's good. I think the voice casting is insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about John Leguizamo and my.
Oh yeah, that one.
That one.
But even that one's like that's a yeah the Bob. It's like it's that's a classic one, but it's not like classic because it's good.
That's
it's
what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the Tomb Raider joint was aight.
Yeah, I think Tomb Raider was. I think like Prince of Persia, even though like they casted a white dude for it, I think. But it's like, so it's like, okay, this was this. Yeah, this is all right. But I think that with them having gone through development hell, and then having the rights revert back to them,
right.
I know as a creator, when something like that happens, you kind of go through like this never again thing. Like it's like being scorned by an ex or something. It's like, oh, I'm never doing this shit. I'm never moving in again before marriage or some shit. Like you just like have this new rule. And I think that what happened was once they understood what needed to happen in telling the story, and I think HBO got like, I feel like they got it and understood it. And seeing that, even not have seen all the episodes, but like, I know I've read this in this article, but the per episode budget is supposed to be higher than the Game of Thrones budget.
Wow.
So that to me says, oh, they are invested in this franchise.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to be the franchise that's like, all right, this might not be quote unquote as big as Game of Thrones, but this story is so good that it can go down in the pantheon of great HBO shows. Like,
yeah,
The Wire had 5 seasons, not a lot of awards, but you know what The Wire did and what it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's it. It sits next to The Sopranos, a bunch of other just like Curb Your Enthusiasm, just other great shows. Well, I think that they're looking at it like this is a premiere show. This is like a Barry for us. This is like
definitely,
a big
it's definitely
priority.
Prestige TV. It's definitely Craig Mazin, who did Chernobyl, you know, got nominated for a lot of stuff. And this one is just, it's going to be big. You already got at least 20 million people that have bought the game. You got to think 80% are going to be watching the show. A high percentage are going to be watching the TV show to see what happens so they can comment on it to see if it's like the game or not. Also got it before we talk about this actual show, we got to talk about you making the clicker noise when you came into the theater. I think I kind of assisted you, but somebody turned around and thought you were a clicker.
Yeah. Okay, well I ended up, it's like, so again with COVID and comedy and all this shit, like I haven't been outside as much as I used to be. So I make sure when I'm out, I have a great time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have fun. And I'm like, it's also the line of like, even with comedy, it's like, okay, where is the line in funny? And where is the line in like, are you out of your mind? Right. So I come in doing the clicker noise, and it was really cool because nobody seemed to care at first. And so I just started doing it louder as I got to the seat. And then when people started looking back and turning around and catching what I was doing and laughing, I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is what it is. Like, this is the vibe. And there should have been a clicker who came in at like after the, we didn't get to it, but I think there should have been a clicker there. Again, one iota, if you're listening and you want to throw some bucks behind the podcast and behind me personally, let me know.
There's
going to be a season 2. Oh, yeah, I'd be a clicker.
There's going to be a season 2.
Because here's the thing. I did look it up real quick. This is from screenrant.com. Then they're quoting the New Yorker article.
Okay.
The New Yorker is reporting that HBO gave the series a budget exceeding that of each of the first 5 seasons of Game of Thrones.
Holy shit.
So it carries a budget of around $100 million.
For the first season?
The series.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, yeah. So it's not, I don't think this is like, it's I know it was on PlayStation originally, but this show is not a game. Quote that. Put that out.
Is it, Mike? It's not a game.
Take that, podcast land.
I don't know what you... That sounds... That's like the time where this is a fucking tangent. There's a guy... He's not even a comedian. There's this guy named John from my acting class in grad school. It's right around the time when Black Hawk Down came out. And, you know, like, you know, we were just playing a game. We're like, oh, what movie is this from? This is an example. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. A few good men, right?
Yeah.
And one of my... This guy, John, was like... He goes over, he's like, guys, we got a Black Hawk Down. What movie is that from, guys? Some of the funniest shit I ever heard in my life, man.
That is perfect. That's a perfect,
we got a shot. Black
Hawk Down. What's that from, guys? I bet you can't guess. Yeah, man. Let's talk about it. The show. Talk however you want. We can spoil it. We can talk about stuff. I'm gonna do a breakdown, spoiler filled breakdown, scene by scene, with Dr. Veronica Paredes. You'll get that later on this week. But Mike and I are just kind of shooting the shit about the show and just mm-hmm. giving our impressions. So, what did you think of the show overall?
Overall of the show, I gave it a 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10. I'll start with what I didn't like about it, because there's not much, and I can get this out the way.
Okay.
I didn't like how the episode ended at all.
Why? Ended on a bump? You were just, did you want more? What? So this was supposed to be like two episodes. I was listening to Troy Baker on Play Watch Listen podcast.
I think Troy Baker, one of the voices.
Joel. He's going to be doing a recap show with Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin. He was saying that it was supposed to be two episodes. They put it together and they cut some stuff out. It ended with them. Go ahead. You were going to say.
No, I'm just like, no, it as you're saying it, I see where the two episodes felt like they could have been. Like, but I feel
tell me what you think.
All right. So check this out. So first of all, I didn't like about the ending. And spoiler alert, I'm spoiling this whole shit.
We're spoiling this.
All of it's being spoiled right now. It ends on kind of like a callback to, so Ellie kind of breaks this code of the radio, where if you play an 80s song, then that kind of signifies to the listener that there's trouble coming, that there's trouble. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what trouble is, but because we we played the game, we can assume some clickers or something's coming up, you know, it's going to be some kind of zombies, right? Or infected, I should say, going to be infected.
Is it Bill? Is that from Bill? Did she say that? Was from Bill in that episode, like in that when she was like, "Who's Bill?" or something. Did she say that?
I don't know. I think so.
Signal from.
I think so. Maybe because okay. I think yeah. That makes sense to me. And it's also I think a thing that's kind of like it's not really like different from the game, but I just feel like Joel was more like kind of integrated into the world than he was in the game, because at the game it just felt like all he knew was Tess, and. And this, I'm like, oh, people know him. People know him in the street. He knows. Yeah. He knows the cops. He knows this. He's part of like this woman he works with. Like it just feels like okay, they don't know his backstory.
Yeah. But
the way that they like made him on the show, he's like a lone ranger, kind of like, you know, grizzled cowboy who's just out trying to figure it out. Like, oh, I've been through some shit back in my day.
And you know, like the fascinating thing is, I didn't realize it till I just watched the first 20 minutes of somebody's walkthrough on YouTube. And what they did in the game was like he's like a worker, like he's like what do you call it? Like he's a hired hand. He's a worker, dumping like dead bodies basically.
In the game, in the show,
and on the show.
Yeah, on the show he is, yeah.
He's like, what do you call that? He's just like a worker. He's not a slave. He's just like, he's just looking for work, and they give him, they pay him.
He's a freelancer.
He's a
freelancer. Like, what do you, there's no store that you're running.
Yeah.
If you're not getting goods, you're just like, hey, I just need work. I'm a hired hand, like construction or something, like whatever you got.
You can do. Fedrick pays them in like these, like cards, a green card, like a red card, all these cards that they used to trade for, that was something that they kind of mentioned in the game. I was like, oh shit, that's what they're talking about. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
So yeah.
That's kind of, they're really doing like world building. And they really, this first episode was just like about setup.
Yeah. But that's just bringing it back to what I didn't like is that
yeah.
she broke the code and the entire, most of the episode, it's like, as a viewer, you're kind of like doing this voyeuristic thing of just like watching the story happen in front of your face. So yeah. You're watching, you know, his daughter, you're watching, you know, the family, you're watching Joe, all these interactions. And at the end with the radio, it's like, why are we here watching this radio by itself turn on? Nobody's mm-hmm. here. This right. is just, you're just doing this to signal that there's danger coming for the audience.
Yeah.
But I don't need, that feels so forced. You treated me like an adult.
Mm.
For 70 minutes of the show, however long it is.
Yeah.
And then the last two, you're like, oh, and there's trouble around the corner. Like, yeah, we know. We can see where they're going.
Joel just killed a guy with his bare hands.
He just killed a guy, fucking leveled up with the fucking machine gun.
Yeah.
He and I'm like,
early as fuck.
Early.
I whispered that to you.
Yeah. You were like, yo, yeah. He leveled up. And in my mind, like, I think about it now, like, yo. This motherfucker ain't crafting nothing the first episode. He not getting a shiv and a bat yeah. and throwing some things together. He starts with this.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I thought it was good. I like the fact that the dude that he killed, he has a fate. Like, you know that motherfucker. So Joel is a smuggler. Mm-hmm. We learn that he's a smuggler and he's selling pills. And he sells pills to this Fedra guard. And the Fedra guard gives him the 411, basically saying, hey, don't be out the next couple nights, don't go out because mm-hmm. we raiding. And really, you don't get to that part in the game until like where they're headed, which is like they get to that museum and they're in downtown Boston. You don't get there till a couple hours till you find out that Ellie is immune from infection. Like yeah. looking at this playthrough, like that's maybe that's the way this motherfucker is playing this game. It's like an hour in, an hour and change. Okay.
Huh.
So like,
I mean, yeah.
It's not gonna be perfect, but it's just like
the
way that this motherfucker is playing the game. Some people do speed throughs and shit, but. It's like wow, that's kind of fast. But then when you look at the actors and you look at like how many episodes they've been in, to you know, like you're like, oh, because you know the characters that are gonna die, you're like,
yep.
Oh, this motherfucker's in five episodes?
What the like fuck? How was that?
Yeah, how is that possible? Cause you know what? And when I looked at that, I'm thinking, okay, what they might do, this is just a prediction, they might do it like Lost. I definitely know when they get to Bill and Frank. That's going to be they're going to go back. That's going to be like what I thought Lost did brilliantly. And I, you know, as a fan of J.J. Abrams, I thought that, okay, you're going to show this character in this current situation. And then you're going to go back and do backstory and then say, okay, this is, you're going to make me have feelings for this character. Then you're putting them in this perilous situation. And now I care. Now my emotions are, you know, I'm locked in on this character. I care about him.
Well, I think that like this first episode, they did. I like how they kind of expanded on the caring about Joel's daughter, because yes. in the game, it's just like you just see that it's really focused on Joel. It's his birthday. Mm-hmm. He's coming back to see his daughter. And then things just start going and there's action until you lose this. That, you know, you lose her and now you're right. like kind of emotionally invested as a player. I think there's two things that I really, really love about this episode. The first obviously being the expansion of Sarah
yes.
and seeing her day, seeing her get the watch fix.
Played by Nico Parker.
Yeah, she crushed it. She was just like great. I was like, oh, did she play her in the game? Like just like she was great. I don't think she was brown in the game, though.
No, she's white. Like,
but I do appreciate.
I do too.
I do appreciate what they're trying to do. I see it. I'm like, okay, like it, because there's nobody else who y'all gonna put in there for a few episodes. So I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That, and what I do think is was probably the greatest thing was the first scene of having these two, I guess, biologists or scientists just talking about the idea of a pandemic.
Like in 1968. Kind of,
yeah, and just grounding it in like, oh, if there's a pandemic to happen. And so like the first thing you hear is pandemic. Obviously, we've been through it, so it clicks something in your mind like, okay, pandemic, yeah, I know right. how this goes. And then to have this other character talk about fungi mm-hmm. and what that means. And so like I think it gives it a little wiggle room to be like, all right, yeah, I know we're doing a pandemic show after we kind of just quote unquote got through mm-hmm. a very hard part of it and you feel like waves are coming back and all these things, but it's just like, hey, it's not this, it's a pandemic, but it ain't like that, this is fungi, this is worse mm-hmm. so you can watch the show and not feel like the end is happening. You're like, oh, you can suspend disbelief, like
right,
whatever you're living in, we're living in, but we're gonna stay in this fantastical world, we're putting it up to fungi, and then we're gonna get to 2003, and then another thing I liked about it, be like, and now we're at 2023, and then you can look yeah. at how the world looks in their 2023 and know that that is very different than our 2023.
Yeah,
because I feel like a lot of real quick, I'm just saying, like, a lot of times with apocalyptic shows, I feel like it just feels too either like quote unquote close to home mm-hmm. or it's really far away. So like they either don't want to touch on what's going on right now, or they try to be like, you know, like I remember when like the movie 2012 came out, and that shit came out like in 2011. I'm like, what are you doing? You're trying to kill us. The yeah. shit is like next year. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I like how they were able to separate the time and give you a little breathing room. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Well, what were you saying?
What did you think about the change? I told you before the show started, they made the change from 2013 to 2003. So when you jump ahead from 2013, it's 2033. And then the show, it's 2003, and we're getting our current year, 2023.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that change?
I think it's really smart. I think it's really smart. I think one of the reasons it's really smart is because as I was mentioning when breaking the code about when did the music come out mm-hmm. and being like, hey, this song came out in the 80s. And yeah. even we were listening to it like, hey, we're not really sure. But yeah. you can have, I guess, millennial based references, because mm-hmm. I also think that like a lot of people that played the game, if it came out in the game came out like, let's say, 2014. So yeah. if you got that game
came and out you 2013. Played it. Joel is supposed to be my age. Joel, like, if because in the Last wow. of Us Part, Last of Us Part One, he's you can actually, if you like do a deep, like if you really look at, somebody did this on YouTube. I didn't do this, but yeah. you can see that he was born in 1980. So I was born wow. in 1980. Okay. So he would have been, so in 2013, he'd have been 33. You jump up 20 years later, he's 53. This in the show, he's 36 already. So he's 36 yeah. now. He's 56. So he's a little older. That kind of does something too. Like the fact that he's like
right?
close pushing 60. He's like 56 oh, years and, old in the show.
Okay. So with that being said, if he's 56 years old in the show, right? When you see that 2003 bit. Mm-hmm. There's a thing that happens to me where it's just like, oh, I remember my 2003. Like, I remember, like, what was that? Get Rich or Die Trying was coming out. Like, I remember yeah. where I was and what I was doing, right? And, yeah. but also seeing, like, a person who would be, like, a millennial's age right now mm-hmm. going through, like, having a kid. And I think most of our, like, you know, the majority of our generation, it's like, this is a time where you would have a kid that age. You yeah. know, like you might have a Sarah that's like a 12, or you might just be a parent and you might just kind of connect on that level.
Yeah.
You know, and I think kind of setting it there and seeing him work and not work, but just like, hey, he has a job and he's doing it. They don't really talk about where the mother was or right. what it is. And I think that was a really smart thing to do. But to see that you cannot immediately identify of being a caretaker and that trauma hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when I was playing the video game, 10 years ago, I didn't have any children then. But as I'm playing it and you're like looking out for this kid and your daughter just get like shot and it just stops. And then you get you're like, what just happened? Like, I did everything right in the game. Why did this happen?
Yeah.
And you're just stuck with credits for a minute. It makes you emotionally invested. And I think it's like one of the greatest video game moves of my video gaming generation. There's nothing else that comes to mind for a video game. It's like, it got me like that. Like, hold on, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play this game and you're going to remember that moment. I might not like that. And the ending are the two like biggest point, like those two endpoints. Like, man, this is such a story. This is such a great story. So yeah, I think it's good. I think it was smart to do it in 2023.
Yeah.
I really do. So don't go too much into the future. Keep it there. And here's another thing. If they're not really breaking down how fast things deteriorated, they can also reference things between that time.
Right.
Like, you're not going to reference the Will Smith slap, right? You're not going to do that.
No.
But you would be able to... You could be able to reference certain things from like 2010 or, 2013 and things that can really ground it in a reality to be like, damn. Yeah. Remember when that thing happened and seeing it in that world? I think it's just really smart.
Yeah. They take a shot of George Bush in the classroom because it is Texas. They're in Austin, Texas. I really, really liked it. It just made me, I had this nervousness, this anxiety, excited. Like, I haven't felt like that in a long time, like for something since part two came out, really. Like a piece of media that just kind of was just like, oh, I'm really hyped for this. And it was just the Sarah giving her more of a humanity, just more of a backstory. And we know what's coming. You and I knew what was coming. Probably everybody in there knew what was coming. And it just to kind of pace that out, to show that she was a kid and she, really interesting. And then even just jump into Ellie, I didn't know because I didn't see Bella Ramsey in Game of Thrones. I didn't watch the show. But there was a lot of controversy about why they cast her, what she looked like and this and that. I'm sold on her. I'm sold on her, but now I'm jumping to, I want to get to Colorado. I want to get to Colorado to see her fucking people up now. Like, that's kind of where I'm at, where it's just like, I want to see her really just, because I think that was, that to me, damn, we jumping. Nah, I can't get there yet, I guess. It's almost because I'm talking to you. I want to go there, but I don't know. Just like the left behind stuff earlier, later on in the game. That's like going to be like some of the most compelling things, and the thing that the game does that you're really not expecting. But just keeping it with this episode, I did like the fact that Joel was older. That makes it more grounded in reality. When they make that jump, because he's 36, I was the way that in the first 15 minutes, the way that runner was chasing him, holy shit,
yo!
I was like, oh my god!
Are we talking about when he had Sarah with him?
Yes, when he was carrying Sarah and he was running that runner was just like jumping and trying to catch him. I was like, yo, this is really
even with the grandma,
yes,
when that was like it was quick, but it wasn't as much as the runner, because like when the runner came after them, jumped, hit the ground, got back up in like no time and ran. I I immediately felt like, oh, this is different from any other zombie type show. And it's not just the thing about the plants and the clickers and, you know, the ones that explode and the, you know, the mega boss that you'll get to like in the video games or whatnot. But I'm like, when you see them affected at that point.
Yeah.
And they can run like that. You know, danger's around everywhere. Like, it's the thing about I think the closest thing I could compare it to is. The movie with Jim from The Office.
Oh, The Quiet Place?
The Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can't make any noise, you gotta go around, you gotta do this
thing.
And their whole thing was that they gave you a story, they gave you a narrative in it, and you're also just like invested in the family.
Right.
This feels like the next level of it. Like, oh no, they have to be quiet.
Yeah.
You're gonna be invested, but everybody involved in this can fight for the most part. They can defend themselves. Yeah. But also, in like great HBO dramas, don't get attached to any of these characters.
Right. Because
people are going to get murked at any time. I don't know how closely they're going to follow the game. I think they're going to do like, they're going to have some liberties. But people are going to get murked at any time. Hope that that the two black characters, are Sam and Henry, are not going to get murked first. I see they have two episodes, so we'll see.
Yeah.
What happens? Dead. Hopefully, we see them in season two.
We're not gonna see them in season two, dog.
We're gonna see them again. No. We're gonna see them again. Yeah,
that's it, dog.
Yeah.
Well, man. I was really impressed by it. I was.
Me too.
That was the most. That runner was, I think I was really impressed by that runner. So what they're going to do, because they were talking about, because, you know, like in the game, you're going to have a few, more than a few clickers in a room and some runners or a little mixture of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can learn how to play the game so you can fight. There's gameplay and all and this and that. There's not going to be a lot of that, I don't think, in the show, because what happens, it's got to make the victory over those things more palpable, and it's a little more grounded in reality. So I don't know how many hordes, but we do see in the trailer a bloater come out, and that's probably going to be, I'm assuming, other than David. If it ends like the game ends, David's going to be probably, and Marlene kind of. When they get to Utah, that's going to be one of the biggest battles. But other than that, the villain is going to be David.
Yeah.
And then they got this character played by Melanie Lynskey, who plays Kathleen. And they're saying that, like, it's going to be like, you're not going to meet.
Melanie Linsky's a problem.
She's a beast. And
she's a beast, yo.
She's not going to. She's, yo, like. Because instead of meeting them in Pittsburgh, Henry and Sam are going to be in Kansas City, and there's going to be this like faction, this militia group. That's what I was going to say. The Fireflies were. I couldn't get it an hour ago, but she's going to be head of this militia in Kansas City. So that's what it's supposed to be. They're changing a lot of stuff. You know, another thing, what the fuck is somebody doing? I don't know. Somebody in another apartment doing something weird. Anyway, one thing I think this is also a little more hopeful or a little less dark, I want to say, than the video game, because off the rip, Joel is trying to get to see his brother, Tommy. Joel's trying to get a battery to get across the country to get to Tommy in Wyoming. Before, in the game, it's just about them being like, yo, we don't really talk to each other. We did some fucked up shit. I did some fucked up shit. Tommy had enough of it. And we're going our separate ways. With this one, like, he's trying to get back to Tommy. He's trying to get to his brother. What do you think about that?
I think that's a smart arc for right now. I don't think it's going to be a series arc, though. I really don't think it's going to be. No, I think that there's going to be multiple pieces moved during it, you know, like the, like having like in the video game, go judging by the game, when they have to leave, like Tess, when she has to get left behind, that's going to be a big thing. When they get to Tommy and then realize who Tommy's involved with, because like the main thing is this, they have to get Ellie to where she needs to go.
Right.
That's the main thing for this, I think, for this this season at least.
Of course, yeah. They it's gonna unfold that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing with Tommy is probably good for a few episodes. I think it's enough to kind of like, hey, we need to get here. And then I think it was gonna get to a place like we have to get away. I did a quick search about Kathleen's character, Melanie Linsky's Kathleen's character.
Yeah.
And she is not in the games.
No, she's not in the game at all.
She's not in the games.
I made that clear. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, she's not in the games, but there's like speculation from Den of Geek saying that she might be something that she might be a character who might be prominent in Last of Us Part 3. And my question is Last of Us Part 3? ? So I think that what they can do with this show, because I think it's going to be a limited series. Like, I don't see it being something that goes like 10, 20 seasons. You know what I mean?
They'll at least do two.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did like two or three. Cool. It's like how I look at Succession right now, where I think they might be like on season four, maybe coming up.
Yeah.
Or three or four or whatever. But it's just four, like, hey, yeah, you get it when you get it. You see what happens. Like how I look at what they've done. It's more HBO Max, but with like White Lotus, where it's like, hey, you got these two, you good.
Mm-hmm.
We might give you another season or something.
I see what you're saying. Because they might even, because part two was so big, they could split that up into two seasons. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think also if they already have like plans to do Last of Us Part 3, or if they are working on it, who knows? But if that's something that they would want to go and do, then they can plant the seeds for some of the characters that you'll be seeing in the game. So when you play the game, you're going to be seeing characters that you're familiar with, but you don't know their story. So it's like you might meet Kathleen and then she's like a primary antagonist or like someone who helps you in the game, but you don't know what's going to go, but you like kind of get a sense of her.
Right. I think in this show, she's an antagonist.
I think so too. I hope she is.
She's a leader of those hunters or some kind of faction in Pittsburgh. We don't know who they are. We just know that when they get to Pittsburgh, when they first get to Pittsburgh, they get hijacked and they kill all those people in the garage, and you got that big ass tank shooting at you.
Yeah.
So that's all we know. Like, and I think she's just one of those people. And instead of it being Pittsburgh, it's going to be Kansas City. That's what I'm thinking. Like, because in the video game, initially, Tess was supposed to be the villain. Tess was supposed to be like a friend of Joel or something. And she was trying to get at Ellie, and she became the main antagonist. So, and it's some things that they wanted to do in the game, but they couldn't do, or they didn't have enough, you know, money for it or whatever. But there's things that they cut out. So I think this is a good space for them to be a little more expansive with it, and I'm all for it. I'm not like, oh, the game is the Bible and you got to do everything in a game, but there's certain things that we know that are for certain is
going to happen.
All the black people are going to die.
That was actually the original name of this podcast. The black people are going to die.
Now I can't hear you, Mike. Hold on. What's going on?
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh man, hold on.
Yo, my mic sounds nice.
I think Siri is trying to take over. Siri is trying to be like Megan. I don't want you, Siri.
Once you bring up the lack of black characters, my mic goes off.
Yep. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
I bet. Like I was going to say, all the black characters are going to die was the original name of this podcast. But instead... It's called Brickmasters.
It's just called Brickmasters because Ellie's a Brickmaster. Yeah, that's all.
I That's all. That's all you can do. Not like for real. I think overall, I'm very excited for the series and to see where it goes. I am glad I saw it the way that I saw it. Like, one, just like having experience of going in with you and seeing everything. Obviously it was just like super fun, but also it let me know that HBO actually cares about this. Like, oh, yeah. They're spending money and spending some time on making this be a flagship type of show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me ask you this one other thing. The tendrils. What did you think about the tendrils instead of the spores? Because a lot of people brought up the fact that there's moments in the game where that's just like kind of germane to the series. It's like it's like key plot points where, you know, if they go in a room with spores, they got to mask up. And then in part two, especially in part two, there's moments where there's key pivotal moments, at least two of them that I can think of off the top of my head in part two, where it's like, oh, you got to have this on because this needs to happen. This revelation needs to happen. I think they can write. They're smart enough to write around that. But what do you think about it?
It's weird because it was like a few characters, like I think it was like the runner that was chasing Ellie. And Joel had like the tendrils out of his mouth, right?
I think so. He dates all of them. I think all of them have some version of them. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It just doesn't make sense to me where I'm like, the spores was such a good mechanic because then you can have Ellie do her thing and Joel just puts the mask on. Yeah. But maybe it might be a thing where, like, you know, like in Marvel movies now, the actors they want to show their face. It's like it's like being a football player. Like I have my mask on, they're never gonna see me or know who I am. Right. So I think it might have been a thing where it's like, okay, well, we want to show Joel doing his thing so we can make this tendrils thing be a part of it. Yeah. And you know,
because he's doing that shit in the Mandalorian.
I mean, see, you like
can't see his face.
Can't see his face. He's like, yo, you're not gonna have me again. Y'all just don't want to see me.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy. Like, yo, you saw I do Narcos. Y'all kill me and never see me again. We're not playing this game.
Yeah.
Not doing this.
Spoilers for Narcos already. Also.
Yeah, spoilers for Narcos. Yeah, I mean, I mean, look, Narcos went to Mexico. If y'all ain't watching by now, y'all ain't into drugs. Y'all not into drugs. But I'm kind of like okay with the tendrils, but I just think the spores was such a great move in the game.
Yeah.
To where, amazing. Yeah, like when you got to the spores part and you put on the mask, you knew that you were just, it's going down and there's no humans in there. It's just infected. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it kind of opens it up to be a bit of both now, because if you don't have spores, then it's like, okay, you could be humans in there. And there might be an infected walking around. You got to deal with that. They have to deal with that. And another thing that I really did like about the first episode is when they mentioned the other Fireflies. And then they were like the slavers. And I think there was one trailer of Last of Us that had came out. And I think it was for Last of Us 1 where like I think Joel or Ellie or somebody who just like hanging from a tree or something, and then Joel had to save it. It was a really crazy trailer. I gotta send it, but it was so different that watching the trailer you didn't know was Last of Us. And when things change, you're like, oh shit, this is Last of Us, holy shit, oh my god, this looks great. Wow. But those people were like the slavers, so I'm just really excited about the different factions of people, of the types of people, where you have people who are like, hey, we work for Fedra and we are trying to have stability. You have people who are like, no, fuck what you're trying to do. We want to bring democracy back. We were fighting for the people, but we're fighting for the people under the way we see it. We're the Fireflies. And then you have the slavers who are like, no, we are making use of you people and we don't give a fuck. Like, I just like those. So you have like those three like tiers of or categories of people, and then it's like, now we have infected and we have infected who are different tiers. We have bloaters, we have clickers, we have runners, we have this, we have that. Yeah, I'm just really excited. I'm really excited to see what they do with it, and I know they put love into it, and yeah. That's why I'm just excited for it. Like I feel as somebody who's a fan of the game, I can also be a fan of this show and not feel like the biggest nerd for playing a game and liking this show. It's like, no, this is dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I feel the same way, because I was just like, I just want to see what they do. And it's partly Craig Mazin, but Neil has his hand in it. And I'm good, man. He really hasn't led me astray. I know part two had a lot of controversy. I know we talked about it on the main pod, but it was still an enjoyable experience. It was entertaining. And I'm just happy to see this all play out, and I'm happy to take on this endeavor for the next 9 weeks and recap the show and talk about it with people like you, and just nerd out on this shit, man.
Yo, I'm hype. I will be listening to Brickmasters. I will hit you up and call you to task if I hear on future episodes where you're not bringing up certain things. If I hear you pulling punches, believe you're getting a text about it. You might get a tweet storm about it.
Oh, shit.
I mean, listen, this, I don't know how many podcasts are going to be about the show, but you are at a position as a comedian, an actor, an artist who has played the games. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't finish Left Behind. I didn't finish that. I played some of it, but I didn't finish it. I mean, I might get to it.
It's fucking beautiful, man. And the way that what they did with part one, I mean, people say, oh, it's not a remake. That game looks fucking beautiful. And the acting
on the new one,
the PS5, it looks enhanced. And really, it's really fucking sweet. Left Behind is really sweet. And it's down. The climactic scene is powerful, but the last fight, what do you call it? The
last boss?
Not necessarily the last boss, but the last arena where you're fighting in. It's fucking amazing. It's they coming at you. You put that hole on grounded, and you know it's brutal, dog.
It's different.
It's different, man. So it's worth playing for the story, but the gameplay, you know, that's some of the best gameplay ever. Because you don't see all these nerds going back to it, myself included. Mm-hmm. But these people on YouTube, like, constantly playing it, man. You cannot be so critical of a game and people talk shit about it all the time or will say what they don't like. Motherfuckers be playing that game, dog.
For real. For real. I might have to go back and fuck with it. Like, I just finished God of War, and I am like that. I'm probably like 5 trophies really
away from having it plat.
Oh, yeah, shit. I've been playing it. That's all. Like, I've just been like jumping in, jumping out, playing, and like I've been doing a lot of it, like legit just exploring how I did the first one.
Yeah.
And then I started going back and like going to like kind of some of the YouTube stuff to be like, man, where is this Raven at? You know what I mean? And just like cleaning up small little detailed things. Yeah. And also using the map. Shout out to video games and maps. But yeah. I think I might go back and explore Last of Us. And I also want to say for the pop, for the listeners out there, I'm assuming that you've played the game. But if you haven't played the game, the show is probably going to be even better to you, because you will have no clue what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. To me, I think this is the first time in the history of like video game adaptations where it's the first time where, like, it's like when people have books and they make a movie on the book and you're like, oh, is the book better than the movie?
Book's better, bro.
Like, yeah, the book's better. Like, I can always say the video game is better, but it's like, oh no, you're gonna get a legit amazing story from watching the show. You won't get the experience of playing it and have felt some of these things and like understanding how much a cutscene means to you after you just like killed a bloater with a brick, a shiv, and like one kind of like ration that you made and you're just running for your life, you might not understand how good it feels to like get to that next level.
Right.
But you will be so entertained because I, as you know, and you too is like an alum of the video game, enjoyed the show. I enjoyed watching the plane crash onto the ground. I enjoyed watching them drive into a crowded street and having to back up because the clickers come. Like, I enjoyed watching the cop stop Joel and Ellie knowing what's going to happen, and enjoyed is like a weird word to use, but I'm just like, wow, they really did it. Some things, some scenes shot for shot, particularly the car scene where they're showing it through the lens of the car. And I'm like, is that something they took from the game?
Oh, they did.
I'm not really right. And it's like, that is a, that you're getting a first person view because at that time in the game, you're just, I think you're just playing as Ellie and you can just go to either side of the car.
No, you're Sarah. You're Sarah.
Sarah. Yeah. Sorry, excuse me. And you can just like go to the left or the right side of the car to see what's going on out the window. But then there's a time where you don't have control anymore and you're just seeing what's happening in front of you. And watching the show, even though I know what's going to happen, I'm still excited.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is a mark. That's the mark of a hit.
Yeah.
That's the mark of it. So gear up, people. Gear up, people. If you wasn't into it, get into it. If you didn't watch the show and just like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck with this podcast first, go watch it.
Yeah, watch the show. You gotta watch the show. You know, I've talked about this game for years. I've had the homies on Three Guys On make fun of me. When the people saw the picture we took on Instagram, one of my castmates from my play was like, oh, he's like, oh, you went to the premiere? And he's like, how hard did you? He said, did you come? And I was like, I wrote back hard in all caps. I just yes-anded him. I did not ejaculate in the theater.
Yeah. Well, I did. When I did that clicker noise, it was over.
And I think that's a great place to end. Mike.
Oh, man.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at yomikebrown.com, at yomikebrown, at all of my social media. Check me out. I will be doing a half hour in June. At Union Hall. The date I think is June 3rd. We're gonna figure that out. But nice. If you liked any funny things I said here, check that out. Also, I will be in a small, not a small, but a short play festival that's going to be happening at the Players Theater. That's going to be the, let me look at this, the 16th, 17th. And some other days, but those days will be at yomikebrown.com. The play is going to be very dope. It's written by Elise Valderrama. It's called The Immortal Jellyfish. It's great. Check it out. And that's going to be at the Players Theater Short Play and Musical Festival at 115 McDougal Street. Check that out. And other than that, you know, be good to people.
That's right. Be good to people. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.